Hi everyone, good afternoon. I am Rajat Mehta. I'm in financial services. I also run an angel network and an incubation center, which is called JIF, Jito Incubation and Innovation Foundation.
This episode is a masterclass in the power of community. Rajat Mehta is a part of the highly entrepreneurial Jain community. And by the end of this episode, you will be convinced about the power of this community and their contribution towards supporting startups in India. Rajat Mehta is helping the Jain community to invest in startups as an asset class while also supporting visionary entrepreneurs with capital and the power of the community. And he shares his take on his learnings as an angel investor. And of course, this episode is full of insightful advice for founders on how to raise funds from angel investors and the importance of nurturing your relationship with investors. Stay tuned and subscribe to the Sound of Thesis podcast on any audio streaming platform for more advice on scaling your startup.
Okay, so I want to kind of understand your journey of getting into angel investing. Angel investing is a fairly new asset category for most investors, but you are a seasoned investor. I just want to understand where you're coming from. What's your journey been like?
So I joined a family business and I found myself to be pretty underutilized because almost all the businesses were running in autopilot. And I thought I should add some
family business.
So we are into broking, investment banking, wealth management, NBFC. And, at that point in time, in 2015, I joined it on 13, 14. And I just saw some of these people talking about startups and investing as angel investors. And, you know, an interesting startup came knocking through a common connect. And I said, let's look at this. We did a lot of extensive homework on the company. You know, now we don't spend so much time as we did back then. I wish we do. But since it was the first one, we spent almost three and a half, 4 months just trying to understand what this animal is all about.
Wow.
Unfortunately, with all that effort, the company went bust in 3 months.
Okay.
It was an interesting, and but it was a very good company.
How much did you invest?
I invested 25 lakhs.
Okay.
But because of me, 3 or 4 people who trusted me collectively put in 1 crore.
Okay.
And losing 1 crore in just 3 months at the beginning of your career, money which is not earned by you, is not a pretty good situation, because then you go back to sitting in your family business and telling them that, you know, basically this is a completely stupid idea. And we should probably stick to what we know best. But, you know, that didn't stop us because some of the, people in the syndicate or people who believe that I could probably understand this space sort of really supported me. And they said, you know, this is a good thing. It's an early learning for you. So, don't stop here. And we want to build this asset class as a part of our allocation. So, and we want you to lead it. And I thank them because, you know, going to them, talking to them about making the loss within just 3 months means we've done some terrible, judgment sort of analysis. So that, made me also look at some other opportunities. And then I came across Aishwarya. He was running a company called DriveZ. And very interesting, I met this Bangalore-based founder. And we met at Starbucks at Nariman Point. And a common friend of mine, Puneet Goyal, introduced me to him saying, Rajat, I'm putting in a small check. Why don't you come along? And then by then, I had already lost some money in my first investment. So I said, let's get some smart people to look at this instead of me doing all the homework again. So I got 5 people who started investing before me, maybe 6 months, 1 year, 2 years before me. I said, if they can validate, it'll be much easier for me to do this. So let's learn it their way instead of trying to sort of recreate. So, I brought about seven of them to meet for 30 minutes each at Starbucks Diamond Point. And out of the seven, six actually committed. And then, wow, you know, obviously I committed to the company along with Puneet Goyal, who now runs the company called Blue Smart. So I'll tell you the story later. So yeah, that's, then we invested in Drive Z. We saw it really do well. Got selected by Y Combinator, you know, lifted my morale saying I selected a company which got went to the Valley. So maybe we did something right. And then, you know, they were funded by very good Japanese VCs. So I think they were on a very good track until COVID, and then, you know, things went bad. Third investment was very interesting. We invested, we got a chance to invest in Grow. And that was like a blockbuster for us. We started interacting with Harsh and Lalit. Not so much Ishan and Neeraj, but more Lalit and Harsh. And they were doing the same business that we were doing for 30 years or 25 years, my father. And I said, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, they build this better than us. And I'm always of the opinion that people can do things better than I do. So I said, we can learn from them. So we put out a small token, and they weren't really very keen to take any money from the market rather. So, but just they took three checks in the beginning. I think it was three checks. Ankit Nakori, Mukesh Bansal, and Mehta Financial Services.
Wow.
And then, you know, and then rest is history, of course.
So what valuation did you invest in?
I think it was 1.2 or 1.5 million.
Wow. And today's dollars. 3 billion is the most recent valuation. Amazing. Yes. Incredible. That's like
I exited.
Okay. Okay. When did you exit? At the unicorn round? Okay.
No, 2020 early. So we before didn't see that grow. Round. Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, no regrets. I think even in terms of multiples back then, it was just amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow, amazing. What was your learning from the first failure?
Very interesting.
Actually, in 3 months.
Very interesting. You know, the guy running it, the founder, he was a very good, you know, he was a perfect founder. 9 on 10, 10 on 10, you know, tech guy, young. With a zeal to do something very interesting, farm to fresh. But he was supported by an extremely passionate, you know, traditional promoter who sort of came in as a co-founder, co-promoter. Age gap between them was about, I think, 30 years. The way both of them worked was very different. I don't think they understood each other in terms of how they could scale the business together. So basically the gentleman who sort of came in as a financial investor ended up becoming a, you know, operational partner. So that chemistry didn't work. And I think sometimes, you know, promoters and corporates, they try to play, you know, a founder hat with a young startup, with a young team. And that chemistry always doesn't gel. So I think people should understand that they should be financial investors and not try to be sharks every time. So, you know, that's the reality, you know. And that's what happened. So I think, and once, you know, once there is a misalignment, then for somebody who's, you know, already established, for them, it doesn't matter even if it's like, you know, if it, you know, even if it gets killed in the process. If it's not their way or highway, then, you know, they'd rather just kill the whole show, then sort of let it happen. So that's typically what happened in the first case. Very in the second case, in fact, Drive Z, I think that company was poised to be a $500 million company for sure. But I always
how do you spell it?
DriveZy.
Okay.
I think that company was a great track. I think from 1.5 or 2 million entry value for us, we saw it go to 150 million. And they were raising a round for 350 million value. Somewhere, I think a lot of bad timing, wrong decisions, entering the whole coins, ICOs, trying to do too much, you know, not focusing, not communicating with the investors. You know, talking to the investors only when things went bad and not talking to the investors regularly, not communicating regularly, not sending MISs after repeated requests. That was one of the challenges. But genius guys, you know. Unfortunate that they couldn't pull it through.
Okay. So when did BlueSmart happen?
Right after Grow.
Okay.
So we saw how DriveZ, and actually Puneet from BlueSmart, Puneet from BlueSmart basically is a friend of mine. We walked together in Mumbai in the mornings, and we've been friends for years. So we were pretty fed up with, you know, DriveZ communication, the whole journey. He said, I think I can do this better. I said, do it.
Yeah.
I said,
DriveZ was also in this,
they were not ride hailing, but they were this, you know, Zoom car equivalent or Zipcar equivalent in India. Okay.
Self-driving car.
Yeah, like, but they built this own SVT, smart vehicle technology, et cetera, et cetera. And okay. Puneet, in his previous avatar, was all about solar, renewable. So he really understood the space. And the man can just talk and sell and talk and sell. So 3 days, 3 days, 4 days walking with him. He's like, we'll do this. We're building this. We're doing this. We're doing this. I said, what will it take to sort of get you to stop talking? He said, a check. But amazing. Yeah, yeah. You know, the guy, you cannot argue with him. You know, he's read Uber balance sheet year on year, year after year, every year. You cannot argue with him. He knows his facts. He understands the space. And so you feel that you're in good hands, you know. He can make mistakes. Things can go bad. Times can be bad. But the guy knows what he's doing. And the guy is like, he's on a mission. You know,
and this, you're talking of Puneet Jaggi or Puneet Goyal?
Puneet Goyal.
Okay.
But, and then there's a dream team, right? Puneet is great with the facts, with the communication, and Anmol is a great executor. So I think, them meeting also is a very interesting coincidence. Puneet was pitching to a very large corporate, and Anmol heard him and said, "Forget this. We'll do this together." And I think they are a very good sort of a chemistry where one brings in the execution and one brings in excellent communication.
And you're still invested with BlueSmart?
I am. In fact, okay. I put in the first check, then I took it to GIF, which is our platform, which is 100% subsidiary of JITO, JN International Trade Organization. And when I took it to GIF, Indian Angel Network, and I think one more angel networker were looking at it, but were very skeptical. They didn't take the plunge, and we took the plunge, in fact, and we did almost a little more than $500,000 or maybe close to $1 million in the first round itself. And at that point in time, we had no validation from any VC or angel fund. We were fairly inexperienced. But I think, we both worked well together. And today, I think out of the 200 crores that GIF investors have invested, our angel network members in approximately 96 companies, 40 crores is just in BlueSmart alone.
Wow.
To seven rounds. So we really believe in the promoters. I think they're building something very, very nice. If you happen to go to Delhi, NCR, I think you'll see.
I have written, my favorite way of airport ride is BlueSmart only.
The service is fantastic.
Reliable. Yeah.
The cars are clean. The drivers are on point. I think it's a good product that they've built. It's very important.
Though they've not been able to raise as much money as they need to, right? Like off late.
So
because when you're competing in this ride hailing market, your competitors are extremely well funded and you'll need to burn a lot of money to scale.
Yeah, so I think I'm not worried. I'll tell you why. Because they have a few things going on, but the investors are fully ready to back them. Existing investors, which is very important. I tell you, if you communicate to your investors, existing investors, consistently, if your communication is on point, you tell them what's happening, you tell them all the goods and you tell them all the bads, they will support you. So they have raised the last two rounds by doing rights issue. Promoter themselves have put in very significantly, which shows that there's a lot of confidence because promoter did not put in a penny change. Both of them, Puneet and Anmol, they put in a very significant part of their net worth into the business. A, B, investors have gone in and put in money in two rights issues, right, one after another. And that is because...
For people who don't understand, what's a rights issue?
Rights issue is basically given to existing investors to sort of reinvest in the company so that, the company... And in this case, the promoters also get a chance to sort of increase their stake in case some of the existing shareholders don't sort of accept the rights.
Current shareholders in whatever percentage of ownership they have, they can, in that percentage, subscribe to the rights issue. Like,
absolutely.
If you're doing a 10 million round,
everybody gets an allocation. This is their pro rata. Yeah. So I think, yes, they have not been able to raise a large external round, but I can tell you that pending a few strategies, I think there are a few very serious large VCs, private equity players who are looking at them, and they are in the right space. They walk the mile. It's not an easy business, but they're here to stay. I think they're in two good markets, NCR and Bangalore. They will soon be in Middle East in Dubai. And I think they're on the right track. So I think it's a tough business. Everyone knows that. But I think if somebody can get it right, these guys will do well.
Interesting. So you spoke of how Puneet is like the benchmark in terms of communicating with investors. What are some of the things that, you know, that you can show that these are the good things that he did? Like, does he send a report with numbers and so pie charts and all of that? So
a quarterly report comes to all angel networks, all VCs, all angel investors, all their investors, all types of investors. A quarterly sort of mail goes out, but they also back it up with a call with all the investors.
Okay.
That said, if somebody mails them or calls them, they don't mind talking about the same thing that they just did 5 days back or 2 days back. So I think they communicate well. It's very important, right?
Okay.
If you're building something and you cannot communicate to your early backers, I think that's not a good sign.
And what goes out
when you cannot raise? There are situations where you cannot raise money with large VCs for whatever reason. Last 2 years have not been the way all founders or the entire startup ecosystem would have wanted, right? But if you have the trust and the support or the faith of your investors, then you will always have them back you and double down. And we have seen there is enough wealth in India. We've seen with the stock markets, people have enough money to sort of double down, triple down, and in all kind of dips. So I think as long as they believe you and they believe in what your vision is, people will support you. Your existing guys will support you. You may last that, you may, whatever you need for that period where you can't do a bigger round can be sort of managed in this spot, this way.
And what are the metrics? Like, is it a very numerical information that is shared, or is it subjective? Like, here's how our last quarter was, or
No. It's a mix of both. It's clean facts, as is, before, as is, and future. It's a complete crisp, factual sheet with some fundamental things and some immediate opportunities for future.
Okay, interesting. So around BlueSmart is when you got into JIIF?
Yeah, but I was then, yes, around BlueSmart is when I got involved in JIIF. I was then the vice chairman. I was about 30 years old, or 29.
Tell me, how did that happen? Like, how did you end up being a part of JIIF?
Okay, so my father has been the president of JITO, JIIF International Trade Organizations. He was amongst the early founders, first 15, 18 people who created this organization. And this was an organization created for all the Jains across the world to sort of come under one organization and focus on very interesting projects like GIF. It's a very progressive project that any community is doing. In fact, we have helped now after GIF's, I would say, success. At least 9 communities who have come and worked with us and tried to understand and replicate our constitution to build something like this. So our I would not say just my father, but Motilal Oswal, my father, Rakesh Mehta, Mr. Pradeep Rathod of Cello, who's also a backer of GIF, and Rajesh Jain, our director in charge right now. These are some of the guys, Anil Jain, Manoj Mehta. So these guys sort of realized that when we went to Silicon Valley in 2015, we met John Chambers of Cisco. We were a total delegation of 200 Jito members, and we saw the ecosystem. We met VCs. We went to the campuses of Tesla, WhatsApp, Facebook, etc., Google. And then we really saw what, incubation centers and startup enablers and angel networks were sort of doing in Silicon Valley. And then that's where the idea was conceived. And they said, we have to be community first in achieving this. So we came back to Bombay. Mr. Pradeep Rathod of Cello said, here's my office, 10,000 square feet, free of cost, 3 years, go for it. My father was the president then. He said, let's start this project. Rajesh Jainji gave a name to this project. And then, a team led by Manoj Mehta, Anil Jain, Vikas Kavar sort of put this through. We are 6 years old. We've incubated 55 companies.
Wow.
We have impacted 110 companies so far in the incubation. We are the only ones.
What is the difference when you say 55 and 110? Like 55 incubated, 110
impacted? We may have worked with a lot many more companies, like 110. But the final number of 55 comes from companies who stayed with us for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, where we worked with them end to end, from their idea to their go-to-market strategy to the helping them create the pitch, helping them connect with resources, getting them business, getting them into the market, getting them to pitch, helping them fundraise, etc. The entire journey of incubation.
And these 55 companies are companies where GIF has a stake in. Like, I'm assuming incubator takes a stake.
So out of those 55 companies, I think we would have stake in almost 44 of them. Of course, then there are some companies here and there. So we about 40, 45 companies we would have some stake.
Okay. What is the incubator model? What does an incubator do?
So incubation is basically, incubation is a popular term with hospitals, where hospitals incubate a newborn and support the life of that newborn. It's very similar to that. So to make it easy, as an incubation center or an incubator, we support a founder's journey to build a sort of a new age or a good business. So we help them in those early crucial years, months, where the support is needed. In the case of hospital, maybe oxygen support or nurse care. In case of incubators, when a founder comes to us, some already have an idea of what they want to do. Some sort of have some basic sort of idea of what they want to do, but they don't know how to expand on it. So we help them get through that thinking phase. Then we help them put it on paper, and then we help them kickstart that. We help them get their companies registered, their structures in place, help them with their capital structure, help them find a founder if it's a single founder, help them connect with the right mentors. And at Jito, we do an excellent job of finding very, very good mentors, because the community's power is such that, let's say somebody wants to do something in fintech. So let's start. You want to meet Mr. Motilal Oswal, you want to meet Mr. Nirmal Jain, you want to meet Mr. Manla Bansali, you want to meet Mr. Nimisha, you want to meet Mr. Nilesha, you want to meet Mr. Prashant Jain. You name the guy from capital markets or financial services industry, you'll have the top 20 guys in the country, you'll have 90% of them being Jains. Mm-hmm. Or members of GIF, rather, supporters of GIF, patrons of GIF. Mm-hmm. You talk about pharma, we have three or four very, very large pharma founders, promoters, mm-hmm. at our Jito network. You talk about healthcare, likewise, we have at least a dozen corporates in Jito who run large hospitals, mid-sized hospitals, hospitals in tier 2, 3, 4, educational institutions. We have some of the best run educational institution owners as part of our network. So the expertise that we bring in is we bring in good mentors, and then we also bring in very good, business supporters. So we are able to match that, and then of course help these companies go to market, create a pitch strategy, raise money from within GIF platform. So we also have the Jito Angel Network at GIF, which helps these founders raise money. And then we have the Jito Shark Angels, which is something we started about 2.5 years back. And I'll talk more about that. And it's done really well. In fact, I just came back from Dubai. And Mr. Motilal Oswal, Mr. Vimal Shah of Bidco, is an African conglomerate. And then Mr. Anil Singhvi of Z Business. And Mr. Vimal Kevsara and Sparsh Jain and Vinod Duggarji from Kolkata, they were our sharks/angels. And a total of 4 startups got $2.5 million on stage just 2 days back. So we've been able to impact 20 companies with our Shark Angel initiative. And a total of $3.5 million has already been given to, so about 25 crores, 30 crores already been given to these founders. And I think about $2.5 million, 20-25 crore rupees or, you know, are going to go into some of these companies that have pitched to us on the live Shark. And these are events, are live events. So the first season was 9 events, 9 cities, 40,000 audiences online and offline. Wow. And the second season started with 600 people in Hyderabad at T-Hub, where Harsh Jain of Grow, Nitin Jain of Off Business, Polki Jain of Vedantu, and Sunil, Nahar of Happilo. Sunil Kumar Singhvi is a very early, a very serious VC angel investor. We had some of them as our sharks, angels. If nobody likes to get called sharks nowadays.
I think that's not the case anymore. The Shark Tank has made being a shark as cool. So
yes, agree. So we run 3 things at GIF. We run the incubation center, the angel network, and the Shark Angel this thing. And the angel network, we've invested in almost 85 companies, a total of 160 crores. And then the Shark piece is about 20 more companies, 25 more companies, and about 25 more crores. So about, we're managing about 200 crores of invested capital, which would be valued anywhere between 300 to 350 crores. We're managing a portfolio of 98 companies at GIF, and a professional team of 18 employees, investment professionals, work around the clock to support our members.
Okay, interesting. GIF is a standalone private limited entity, or what is it like?
It's 100% subsidiary of Jito Jain International Trade Organization.
Is this a corporation? Is it a not-for-profit? What is, how is
it structured? It's a Section 8 company.
What does that mean?
Section 8 is a for-profit company. It's a for-profit company, but it's usually used by organizations like us, community organizations and stuff.
Okay.
But we have been a tax-paying entity from day zero. GIF, I'm talking about GIF.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So okay, we have about 625 members, about 650 members from Jito community.
How does the organization pay the bills? What is the revenue? Is there a revenue model or is it through contribution from Jito?
No, there's a revenue model. We have a membership fee from a small membership fee from all our members. But we don't
charge them. Who are the investors?
So the membership fee is from Jito members who become members of GIF, but they don't pay anything after becoming a member. So that means we as GIF, we don't charge a carry or a profit share or any transaction with our members, because we are here to support, sort of help our community, push our community to become leaders in the startup investing or the startup ecosystem and the landscape. So GIF, So we have a membership model, and we also charge a small fee from the companies that are raising capital via GIF platform.
Okay, understood. So the goal of GIF is to help the members get exposure to an alternate asset class through a systematic, organized,
platform,
well-structured approach, basically.
Absolutely. Two main objectives. You covered one. The other one is to help Jain founders, get first-hand support from our Jito community into building great businesses of future. Having said that, we have also invested. A majority of our portfolio is non-Jain companies, as long as they meet the principles of Jainism. Non-violence, no meat, no alcohol. So as long as those companies stick to these principles. We are happy to invest in any good opportunity that may help our Gen investors, Jito community members, Jito Angel Network members to sort of be ahead of the curve in the startup landscape. Having said that, you know, a very interesting fact for you. We have about 111 unicorns. Maybe plus minus one
wow.
here or there. No. I think in India we have a... In India we have 111, 12 unicorns, I think. And out of that, 13 founders are Gen founders, which is a pretty good number, right?
Yeah.
If we only focus on, you know, these founders and we keep our, you know, target very clear, I'm sure that we will be able to create some very good unicorn opportunities for our members. I think in the Sunicorn space, we would have almost upward of 50, 100 founders who would be of Gen background.
Okay. So Jito is like a networking body for somebody who's running a business. Like they would want to join Jito to connect to other Gen founders and thereby find business opportunities.
Absolutely. So we run multiple projects at Jito. One of the projects is GBN. Jito Business Network. So that's where all this B2B happened. And the last tenure in 2022, they had done about $200 million of B2B between the community. I think this year we landed $500 million sort of business between the community. But we also run very interesting projects. We run a project called JEAP, Jito Educational Assistance Program, which basically helps any needy scholarship. Yeah. We run JATF, Jito Administrative Training Foundation. That means any Gen child who wants to get into civil services, IES, IPS, IFS, IRS, we have created 7 centers of excellence and we sort of help them, mentor them, guide them, provide them with a comfortable stay and food and sort of get bureaucrats to sort of help them, you know, crack these exams. So that has been a very successful project. We run a project where 12,000 you know, priests of ours, sadhu sadhvis, have been given a cashless card. They can go into any hospital and give that card and get treatment free of cost. Jito bears it.
Okay.
We run a Jito Ladies Wing, which last year created Guinness Book of World Record. They created this Ahimsa Run, where people across the world, you know, got into a non-violence marathon. Last March, we have it this March again, 31st March. And Guinness Book of World Record, you know, sort of acknowledged that as one of the largest events happening around 100 chapters at the same time. So we have about 70 chapters of Jito in India and 23 outside of India. All 100 chapters ran at the same time in different time zones. We have Center for Excellence, Jito Center for Excellence, where they help Jito members to upgrade their skills, be, you know, first movers in any latest technology, more educational and skill development. So we keep partnering with ISBs, IIMs, IITs of the world, Harvard, keep curating programs for our members. And we run knowledge series through that program. We have Jito Professional Forum, a forum for lawyers, chartered accountants, doctors to sort of come work with each other or provide services to Jito members. So a lot of B2B, a lot of B2C happens across across Jito. We have global conferences that keep happening. We just ended one in Dubai 2 days back, and almost 700 participants, 250 from Dubai, 400 plus from the rest of the world, people from Africa, UK, Spain, Australia, UK, Dubai, Oman, Bahrain, chapters of Jito, Thailand, Indonesia, Jakarta, you know, made a good presence. And a lot of activities, a lot of cross-business, a lot of cross-networking opportunities happen at this place.
Okay. I want to zoom in a bit on how you invest in startups, because my audience is essentially like the startup audience. So you said that one of your filters is Gen values. What does that mean? You want the founder to...
Jainism believes in non-violence. And by non-violence, ahimsa, anything that, you know, even cutting an animal is violence, right, for us. So anything which is in any kind of violence is something that is against Jain principles. So we at GIF, or personally I as Rajat Mehta or Mehta Group, we don't do anything that involves violence, any investment that involves violence. And of course, alcohol, meat, etc. So those are the principles that we live through my life. Example, I am very closely associated with this Russian fund called Sistema. I was their exclusive India partner, helped them raise the domestic fund. And, you know, they invested in Licious at $30 million, which is now almost $1 billion plus. But our Indian structure, the AIF, where me and my friends are investors, and I am their local partner on the, on their investment committee, we said, it's okay if we don't make money. So we did not co-invest. Of course, Licious has done really well, but we are okay to not do well as long as we stick to our principles.
Okay, understood. Would you invest in a gaming company? Because a lot of gaming companies might have games which have some shooting elements and things like that.
Very interesting questions. You're trying to get me there. Personally, I would invest. So far, I haven't invested. At GIF, I think we've done something very beautiful. We've been able to put together a very interesting layer that sort of helps us decide where to invest, how to invest, and why to invest. So we've brought in some very, very good names who are part of our investment committee. So we have Mrs. Anshul Jain. She's the MD of Lighthouse. She's on our investment committee. Punicha, MD Alteria. He is part of our investment committee. Mukesh Jain, Cape Gemini. He's the global head of, he's a CTO and global head of Peoples in Cape Gemini. He's on our investment committee. Ramesh Bafna, CFO of Zepto. Previously, he was CFO of CoinSwitch Kuber. He's on our investment committee. We have Rahul Rai Surana, previously Standard Chartered. Then he was the head of Fossil India. And now he's the senior partner at Sistema Asia Fund, $120 million fund. He's on our investment committee. Sumit Jain, ex-Kalari, ex-Sistema. He's on our investment committee. LiveSpace founder Saurabh Jain. He's on our investment committee. We have Mayank Jain of Stellaris Venture Partners. He's on our investment committee. So the list goes on. Varun Bhandari from Credit Sesson, ex-IFC. So we've been able to bring in some very, very, relevant people from the startup ecosystem who are Jains, who want to contribute to the community. But this is their way of contributing. They spend time every week in identifying, selecting, evaluating companies for our members. So this is the team that is sort of decides, where we invest, how we invest, and why we invest.
What is the investment thesis for GIF?
It's sector agnostic.
Okay.
It's sector agnostic. It's mostly early stage. It's mostly pre-series A. It's it has to meet the principles of Jainism. And it has to clear our IC.
But, would you look at companies which are making revenue? Would you look? I mean, there must be more to it than, this is very, very vague and broad. How does the process of shortlisting happen?
We have a wide variety of members. We have some professional members. And we have some risk-taking large corporates, family offices. So we, at any point in time, we will have people ready to take different types of risk. So if you ask me if there's a parameter of selecting a startup that fits, all our selection criteria, it doesn't. I think, obviously, we also like to get deals from good angel networks where they are leading the rounds. Having said that, we've led several rounds at GIF and have done really well at leading those companies. In fact, in the EV ecosystem alone, I think GIF would be one of the best investors. From BlueSmart to Batex to ChargeGrid, Magenta, and several other companies. So, we don't have a one criteria fit all kind of things. But I think a good mix of reference points, a check on founders, capability. Some serious VC, like we have maybe two deals that are coming to us from Bloom right now. We have one deal come from Kalari right now. We have one deal where 314 and Spring Marketing, Capital, who are investing, 314 invested earlier, Spring Marketing investing in the same round. So we get good deals. When we get good deals from networks like this that we have, of course, we like to look at those deals. And then there's some deals come from VFounder Circle, some deals come from VCATS, IPV. We also share our deals with them. Plus, we have a great inbound that come directly to us and apply to us because we've been in the ecosystem now for almost 6 years. We have a sizable portfolio. We have a sizable number of portfolio companies who also talk, you know, good about us because we really help them on their growth of business, sort of mentorship growth of business. So that inbound direct applications also keep coming. So, you know, I honestly, if you ask me, do we look at pre-revenue companies or companies with certain kind of revenue, or can we take in Dubai just now, you know, the shark slash angels on the stage and the audience, we all decided that we'll support a Jain founder. And I again say that we support a Jain founder who's doing something in space tech. So he's building these rocket launchers. And we said that, you know, this is a, and we did an extensive sort of DD on the person's capability. And we know it's a moonshot, right? We know it's difficult, but sort of we are happy to work even and invest even on such projects where we know it's extremely risky. We may not see revenue for the next 7, 8, 10 years. And if something goes wrong, the project will get bust. So we have that kind of appetite also. And then we have the appetite to look at more serious established founders having already created something. So we can play many hats.
Okay, interesting. What does the funnel look like for you? How many deals are going through one level of evaluation? Then how many go through the next round? And how many come in front of the investment committee?
Okay. On an average, if you see, we will be getting close to 350, 400 deals in a quarter.
Okay.
We would be taking...
This 350, 400 would also be after some screening, right? Because I am assuming a lot of people comes would to just be...
No. This is what comes to us first. After through... this, our team is screening through various platforms, through various, direct applications, through VCs, angel networks, direct, you know, people like me who are personally active in the ecosystem. We also bring deals to the table.
Okay.
So we would be getting about 350, 400 deals. We would be not taking more than, one third of those deals to the IC. So we screen, two thirds of these deals which don't make it to our IC. The IC effectively looks at a large number of deals between 75 to about 100. And we may end up investing in 15 of them.
15. Okay. 15 deals a quarter. That's quite a sizable number.
No. This is a number in peak, this thing. Last 2 years, numbers have been very, very... right now, if I say one investment in a... maybe 3 or 4 investments in a quarter also is a good number. So it's been pretty slow. 5, 6 maybe.
Okay. But why has it been slow? Because, foreign capital is not investing in India because the interest rate have moved against the industry. But why is there a slowdown among Indian investors?
I think everybody is focusing on stock markets. It's extremely liquid. Okay. It's extremely liquid. Everybody's sort of addicted to it. Everybody's made money. So when you sort of make money, you tend to do that, right? It's an addiction.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And I think that brings you a great amount of liquidity. Mm. It's doing really well. So I think people are much happy doing, stock investing. And India has outperformed on all parameters, even through Russian war, inflation, whatever the present situation is, Israel, Gaza. I think we have been outperforming as a market. And I think we'll continue to do so. I think the 5-7 years, Indian markets, this decade looks really good. People talk about the century. I'm sure it will be the century for India, but I can tell you the next 10 years look fantastic on the stock markets. Having said that, I think, things are turning again. I see a lot more interest in early stage investing now. you know, as compared to 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, a year back. So I think a lot of traction and investments have started to flow again, because I think people have also started booking money from the markets. They've made a lot of wealth there.
Okay. Once the investment committee gives, says that they like the business, what happens next? Because this is a network, right? So some people would need to raise their hands and say, yes, I want to invest, and then the investment happens? Or is it a fund structure? Or
No. So we don't have a fund structure. We basically, once the investment committee says yes, go ahead, it gets pitched to the members. And then members who are interested sort of come on, get onto a group, and then they sort of start the due diligence and the entire process. And then the members decide where they want to invest.
Okay. What goes on the cap table of the startup? Is it like one single entry, or like if there are 10 members investing, then is it 10 entries?
So traditionally, it used to be 10 entities. We do have now a structure in place, which allows us to use a single entity name by the name called GIF. That we use.
How does that work? Like, you create a new entity each time?
No, we work with some ecosystem partners who help us do this.
Okay. Got it. Understood. And have you seen any exits so far? I guess it's too early for exits, right?
No. We have. In fact, the last one, last month, Chalu.com was our first investment at GIF. Our member exited at 45x. We've seen exits in Blue Smart. We've seen some partial exits. So we've totally done 9 exits so far. And we also have 2 write-offs.
Okay. Understood. This number from 350, you said that about 2/3 is not shown to the investment committee.
Maybe more than that, actually. Yeah.
Okay. I guess 80% or 90% would not be shown, right? What happens there? What are the things which go wrong for a startup that they don't move to the next round? You know, just purely asking as advice to founders of things they need to get right.
I'm making the next Make My Trip of India. I'm making the next Uber of my, India. I think we're past that now. I think markets are quite mature to not see some me too products. So I think those deals which are just cut, copy paste, nothing unique about them, they go out of the window straight away, unfortunately. We'd like to work with some of the founders. We are very, very, some deals we don't like because they don't meet our principles, right? Some form or the other. So obviously they go out the window. Some places we're not sure. A single founder, very difficult business to scale up. We've seen that it'll take much more in terms of energy for the platform to sort of even get the ball rolling. There's a learning curve. So I think things that we've already learned, we tend not to do those things. So some of those deals that don't come to the IC. If there is a good number of backers before us who have some credibility in in the system, that sort of helps some of the companies sail through much faster.
Social proof.
Having said that, that doesn't mean that we only need that to sort of take it to our IC. We are 50-60% of those companies that go to our ICs and get selected may not even have a social recognition or, peer sort of
validation.
So we are happy to look at some very innovative, good this thing because we are a community first organization. Having said that, we do invest a lot. 70% of our portfolio will still be non-gen founders. Of course, we are trying to now focus more and more on that category. A mix of a lot of criteria, I think. I think the team, there's a screening team headed by our CEO, Sagar Gosalia. He was head of marketing strategy at Idea Cellular, Airtel, Vodafone. So he's been there through years. And he himself ran a mentor platform. Then we have a very interesting mix of vice chairmen and, who sort of helped the screening team take this to the IC. So Jinendra Bhandari is a very savvy investor. He's a vice chairman. We have someone called Dharmesh Ghatani. He's a very, very active investor. Our own director, Rajesh Jain, you know, he is invested in almost 70, 80, 90 startups. So, you know, these people sort of help the screening team, you know, identify what's right from wrong. Ramesh from Zepto, Vikas Kavar. So a very good mix of people. Ketan Kotari, he runs a family office. Anurag Jain, he runs a family office. This is our core team of people giving honorary time along with me to sort of help build this organization. And we built some good processes. We've been able to build some good processes around it.
So, you mentioned that, you know, there's been a learning curve in terms of what kind of investment does not work. What was that learning curve? Can you share some examples of things which you realized that these things don't work? Like, this is a tough business to scale.
So, yeah. So I think we get a lot of blue smart kind of companies to us, you know, every now and then in two-wheeler, three-wheeler, four-wheeler. You know, it's a difficult one. We've done one, but with a lot of, you know, thesis and a lot of intuition and seeing the capability of the founder. But if you ask me, we may not be able to do a second sort of similar investment. EV battery sort of thing, you know, by the dozen, we get so many companies trying to create battery management systems or battery manufacturing. And we know they're very difficult businesses, and half of them are just doing China sort of buy and assemble kind of stuff. Two-wheeler, three-wheeler bikes, you know, those kind of companies. Again,
EV bikes, basically.
Yeah, EV bikes. So many of them. I think we must have seen at least 20 or 25, 30 of them. It's endless. You know, every 1 month you'll have one more player coming in the market.
Yeah.
D2C again, chips, you know, chips after chips after chips after chips. And it's difficult to say. How are you going to make these? You can have a fancy packaging. You can create a beautiful like content and nobody reads. You open the packet and you eat it. You know, it's very difficult. Pratap Snacks, very good friends of ours, mentors at Jito. You know, it's difficult for, even they have seen the hard way, Sequoia backed. It's not easy to make money in these kind of businesses, right? So we don't really, you know, we know it's when we know it's difficult, it is difficult. We help the founders understand that. Every person has become a homemaker. So, you know, these these healthy bars. You know, I keep getting so many samples. So there has to be some product differentiation, some uniqueness. Either have a champion product or you have a champion seller who's an ambassador. So the product will sell if you have a champion ambassador, or the product will sell if the product is a champion. It's unique. It's a market first. It's a category first. If both are there, nothing like it. Even if one is there, great. If there's, if both of them are not there, then, you know, let's not waste anyone's time. You know, it's difficult. And I think 10 years of market chased growth at any cost. I think we are in better times. We're not chasing growth at any cost. We're chasing value with some amount of growth, sustainable growth with value. So I think we've all reached that phase. Personally also, I'm very active. Personally also as an investor. We also set up a fund called Mehta Alternate Investment Fund. And we run a scheme called Stargazer. We just made 7 investments out of that in companies like Inc42, Mokobora Bags, Snowmountain.
This is an early stage fund.
Early stage fund.
Okay.
Mehta AIF, Stargazer is the scheme's name.
Okay.
So we made just 7 investments, early stage mostly. So, yeah.
What are the things which, if a founder says, "I don't know," you're fine with it? Because you expect the founders to know a lot of things, but absolutely not.
Absolutely not. You know, and with great humility, I've seen, you know, the journey of Grow. I don't think they knew most of it. Because we knew the business better than them, right?
Wow.
And they, but look what they've created, right? They've created an organization which is bigger than now Zerodha, Upstox, ICICI Securities, IIFL, Angel, Motilal Oswal, ICICI. They've outdone everybody, right? If you ask me, 6 years back, did they know about the market? Did they know about SEBI compliances? Did they know about NSE regulations, BSE regulations? No, absolutely not. But I think their agility to sort of be humble about not knowing something, their agility to ask, their ability to question, to think, you know, what is the roadblock and how it can be solved, and not be stuck with the notion that it cannot be done, is what helped them become or get where they are. And they're profitable. They do extremely well. So you can build some great businesses without knowing anything about the business. My father is a first generation entrepreneur. He didn't know anything about stock markets. His father was a musician before that and a boarding school superintendent. Nobody in the seventh generation before that did business. My father, they didn't have a house of their own. When he got into broking, my grandfather said, you know, you don't know anything about business. We don't know anything about business, let alone business. Broking is all about gambling, you know. Markets are all about gambling. But, you know, he didn't know anything, but that sort of helped him to sort of learn more, to sort of be more hungry, to sort of be better than the ones who are already there, the incumbents. You're able to move faster, be agile, learn better, rethink, think in a better way. So I don't think founders need to know everything. Founders need to have the hunger, and that hunger should not die. They need to have a good chemistry between themselves. And I really sincerely believe that it should be more than a single founder, because it's a very tough journey. Entrepreneurship is a very tough journey, and you need support system. You need people doing similar skill sets. I run a PMS also, Portfolio Management Services. If you ask me a stock price, I will not know today. If you ask me 10 stocks right now, I'll be like, oh shit, I don't know. If you ask me market cap, I may not know. But that Samrit Podar, my partner, he's the CIO. He would know. But I bring in the communication, the investor relations, the operations, you know, the sort of pitching, selling, discussing, convincing. That's what I bring to the table. And he brings the analytical skills, the research, the hard work, the dedication to put two and two together. So I think founders don't need to know anything. They need to be hungry. They need to be energetic. They need to be disciplined. They need to time their journey, their everything properly. And I think all falls in place.
Very interesting. A lot of examples you've given me are all consumer-facing businesses. Is it that angel investors prefer consumer-facing businesses because they're more relatable, as opposed to like your B2B businesses?
Not necessarily. In our case at GIF, we see a lot of different types of businesses, because we have business owners as our members who are all interested in different segments, you know, from wide variety of businesses, right? So we can look at healthcare opportunities. We can look at D2C companies. We can look at energy related, not just EV, just different types of energy businesses. So, but yes, of course, for a larger audience, jo dikhta hai, wo bikta hai always. So, you know, it's easier to always sell something that can be shown, perceived, touched.
Yeah,
you can show that visible growth in branding and marketing. But I think India is the biggest talent hub or pool for some amazing deep tech and SaaS businesses. And I think we have finally, unleashed our potential. People are not moving as aggressively as they were to the West and Silicon Valley. A lot of people are building out some great companies in the AI, deep tech, SaaS businesses out of India, mainly, you know, South India. And I think those will be the companies that will replace our Nifty 50 and Sensex 200. And I'm very certain about that. You know, we will have NVIDIAs of the world come out of India in the next 5, 10, 15 years. I think thanks to the push of the present government. So, panditon ki sabha chal rahi hai Varanasi mein, ghat ke upar, and Modi ji is talking about Startup India, Digital India. Maybe most of them are not even relating to what's happening. But the man is also on a mission. He knows that the future of this country is going to be by creating entrepreneurs and not, you know, how we were 10 years back when everybody wanted to become a computer engineer and then go and get a job abroad. So I think that environment change, that mindset change, that sort of constant drilling and pushing because we are the startup capital of the world, soon to be, has really helped us get somewhere. Positivity aayega to kaam hoga. Positivity nahi aayega to you don't want to think, right? So when I came into active working career, I think most of my friends came from US and UK, and they saw subprime crisis, and they saw, like, you know, when they got into job markets, it was quite difficult. Most of them came back. There was a lot of negativity for a few years. So I think what the present government has done is phenomenal. You know, changing that environment and making it positive in itself is half the battle won. Mindset positive ho gaya, to then, you know, you can start running. The day you decide ki ab, you know, you want to run, then it becomes that much easier. So I think foundation, environment, some economic parameters, our banking situation, you know, these things have sort of really helped the present situation. I think COVID also helped people realize that we want to be with our families. So I think that way a great talent pool will now not want to flock and move away. So I think we are in a great situation.
What's your advice to founders who want to raise funds from GIF? What's the best way to reach the investment committee? Should they just directly apply through a website? Should they find someone and get an introduction? And, you know, what's advice you'd like to share?
We are a community-driven organization. The easiest thing for somebody to come and say that Najat Mehta passed or pushed a deal, that's the easiest thing to happen. So if you ask me at any point in time, what is being passed by an IC, I will not be able to sort of answer because I don't want to get involved in that. We build processes and we let processes work. So most of the applications come directly on our website, and reaching out to somebody doesn't or never helps. So I cannot push
A lot of VCs actually give me the opposite answer. They tell me that if you can get to me through an introduction of a portfolio company, it shows to me that you have the hustle to find ways to connect with me.
Yeah, they're absolutely correct. But as a community organization, we have to be a bit more careful, because then what happens is if every individual starts pushing their cause, then you will not be doing justice to our investors. And we are very, 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 very conscious of that. So we have brought in this investment committee. An angel network doesn't need an investment committee. I mean, it seems very odd. We're not even a fund, right? If you're not a fund, why do you need an investment committee? You're not even handling third-party money. At the end of the day, even after the investment committee sort of selects a company, the final decision is anyways of the investor. So he's taking that risk and he's placing that bet. But we built this layer so that even at screening level, our team, which works full-time, or myself and our working committee at GIF, who are all fairly relevant people from the ecosystem, also don't push their cause. And that's very important at GIF, at community. And that's what we believe in. Good corporate governance. There is no, two ways to it. Having said that, what you said doesn't mean there's bad corporate governance if a portfolio company were to introduce anybody to a VC. We are also happy to see some portfolio companies introduce us to some good opportunities. We are also happy to see some investment committee members suggest some good deals, but ultimately it goes through the process.
And that brings us to the end of this conversation. I want to ask you for a favor now. Did you like listening to the show? I'd love to hear your feedback about it. Do you have your own startup ideas? I'd love to hear them. Do you have questions for any of the guests that you heard about in the show? I'd love to get your questions and pass them on to the guests. Write to me at ad@thepodium.in. That's ad@thepodium.in.